As soon as it was morning, having held a meeting with the elders, scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin, the chief priests tied Jesus up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate questioned him again, "Aren't you going to answer? Look how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus did not answer. So Pilate was amazed.
"Why are you silent, O King of Kings? Don't you hear these taunts and questions? Don't you hear the mockery in their tones? Speak, O King of Kings, show them who you are. Speak and unravel these fools. Speak like you did at the unfathomable beginning when where galaxies and stars were born just by the whisper of your word, when you turned dust into glory. Speak, my King, speak and reveal your majesty to them. Speak and put these shameful men to the test. O King of Kings, why are you silent like a sheep before the slaughter? Why don't you whisper and undo this tragedy? Why are you silent, my King, my Lord, my all?"
At the festival, Pilate used to release for the people a prisoner whom they requested. There was one named Barabbas who was in prison with rebels who had committed murder during the rebellion. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them as was his custom. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" For he knew it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas to them instead. Pilate asked them again, "Then what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Again they shouted, "Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified.
"Barabbas for a king, a criminal for an innocent. How do you stand this injustice, my King? Listen to that raging crowd playing to the stupid tones of manipulation and fear. Listen to that cowardice judge playing to the tune of an angry mob rather than upholding truth and justice. Listen to these hypocrites who sung you praise when you entered this city and now cry for your blood. Crucify, crucify, crucify. How do you stand it? Why do you stand it? Call upon your legion, show them your power, show them your holiness, show them who you are. Why do you let them rage? Crucify, crucify, crucify. O King, do something. Don't let this exchange occur. Crucify, crucify, crucify. Why does my heart mirror this shameful melody? Crucify, crucify, crucify. Do something, my King."
The soldiers led him away into the palace, that is, the governor's residence, and called the whole company together. They dressed him in a purple robe, twisted together a crown of thorns, and put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They were hitting him on the head with a stick and spitting on him. Getting down on their knees, they were paying him homage. After they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple robe and put his clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him.
Beaten and bloodied, mocked and abused, "My King, why do you let this happen? I don't understand it. Their actions are full of dishonor and shame. Why do you endure it? They fix that hideous crown upon your brow and strike your face with brutality and malice. Stop them. Oh, hailed King, there is no remorse in them. There is no regret. There is no shame. They hit your face with full force, the strength of men in full display. Your face is bloodied beyond description. Please, my Lord, stop them. They clothe you in royalty, but there is no acknowledgement in their eyes, only their dishonesty. Stop them, my King."
"They forced a man coming in from the country who was passing by to carry Jesus' cross. He was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes, casting lots for them to decide what each would get. Now it was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge written against him was, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 criminals with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, "Ha! The one who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself by coming down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him taunted him.
"Pierced hands and feet, struggling to breathe. O teacher, why do you hang upon that cursed tree? This is agony to watch, whipped and beaten, bloodied and broken, thorns upon the head, nails through your flesh. There is no strength in wine to distract, near naked and abused, left for others to accuse. They mock and shame without a second's thought. Listen to their voices, they have no pity but scorn. They sneer and they growl and accuse all of wrongs and sins. They have no idea. Exposed for all to see, they come one after one, twisting your words like whips and arrows. They beat you again and again and again and again. They beat you with flesh. They beat you with instruments of death. Prove them wrong, O Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Come down from that wicked cross. Show them who you are. Remove your shame. Remove the sins they hurl on you. Bear their guilt no more."
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, and offered him a drink and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." And Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger of Joseph's, and
so creation waits with bated breath as its creator is put to death. Even the sun is too ashamed to blaze as darkness covers the land. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken him? Why is he alone, truly alone? There is no friend or foe that would stand by him now. His family and his friends have abandoned him. Why is he alone? Why is there no one else? Will you stand before him? Will I? The answer is a deep silence, even deeper than before. No one answers his call. God, why have you abandoned him? Where are you? Do you not see this injustice? Do you not see this abuse? Do you not see this hurt and pain? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Where are you, God, in these moments of darkness? Rip open the curtain and reveal yourself for all to see. Where are you, O God of gods? Jesus has nothing but faded breath. The end is coming and I cannot see you in this place. His breathing is almost gone. Come, O God, do not leave him here. His breathing stops. Who are you, O Jesus, King?
In Galilee, these women followed him and took care of him. Many other women had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, because it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, who himself looking forward to the kingdom of God, came and boldly went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that he was already dead. Summoning the Sanhedrin, he asked him whether he had already died. When he found out from the Sanhedrin, he gave the corpse to Joseph. After he bought some linen cloth, Joseph took him down and wrapped him in the linen. Then he laid him in a tomb, cut out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, was watching where he lay.
My child, I'm silent because I have nothing to prove to petty men with twisted intent. I know who I am and I know who you are. I am silent for those who never had a voice to speak. I endure and carry what they never had the strength to do. I'm silent because there is no words to say. I have said them already. This is why I came. My son and my daughter, I care for justice more than any judge or courtroom on earth. I taste and breathe justice. Justice exists because I exist. Make no mistake, I'm King Most High, yet I endure this injustice because this blood-soaked wood pierced with flesh and metal will speak more loudly than any verdict given by man, woman, or child. I endure this injustice because I will show you what true justice is. It is more than just facts and figures, scales and measures. Justice is mingled with mercy, grace, and love. My beloved, I feel the weight of this abuse, this shame, this curse, because I am the great Emmanuel, God with us. I taste every ounce of this earthly tabernacle because I am your high priest. I endure these beatings, betrayals, abandonments, and mockeries because I love you. There is no power play here. I stand before my accusers because I will do what you could not. I will exchange and pay what you never will. I don't show my power like earthly kings who abuse and corrupt and play at vain field games. I have nothing to prove. My power is far more glorious than that. It's seen in bringing the dead to life. The lost found, the sick healed, the weak strong, sinners made right, the proud brought low, the humbled lifted up, bringing beauty from brokenness, good out of evil, making the blind to see, the lame to walk. My power is about bringing glory to God. That is what my power displays, not in wasteful displays of men. I came not to be served, but to serve. I came to give my life as a ransom. I came to lay it down, only to pick it up again. I am in control, not them. My bride, I am forsaken so that you never will be. I enter this darkness so that I can lead you out of it. I taste utter abandonment so your soul will never know it. I carry your sin, your guilt, your shame, because I choose to do so. But make no mistake, upon that cross I sing a melody of love and triumph. In agony I sing a song of life, peace and hope. In my bated breath, when death thought it had triumphed, I did not utter defeat, but sung an ancient psalm. This timeless song that captures why I'm here and why I've come. That I am not truly forsaken, but I am the Passover lamb, exchanged, died in your place, tasting death so that death will never say its peace. I drank that overflowing cup of overflowing, overwhelming wrath so that you would never know its taste. I breathed my last to show you who God truly is, that he never left, that I am always with you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the great I am. And I rip open the temple curtain to reveal that this presence is for all nations, tongues and tribes, all people from high and low. Every woman, man and child can come to me freely and know that I am Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who makes out of forsaken people sons and daughters. Not by works, but by faith. This is what I offer to all people, that love does win, that death is not the end, and that no matter how messy you are, no matter how broken or bruised, sinful or accused, I have paid the price. I have paid it in full. I have now spoken. It is finished. And to God be the glory.